Just imagine 5.5 billion lost people. Mothers, fathers, and precious children. You are seeing 5 faces every second. If you were to stare at these faces every second of every minute of every day without blinking, it would take 35 years to see all of the lost people in the world. If you include the hundreds of millions more that would have been born during that time, it would take even longer. Now slow this down to the rate of 1 face per second, just long enough for you to say Jesus to each one. It would take more than 175 years.
The world is huge, isn't it? The world is huge. There's a lot of people that need to know about Jesus. And God has called us to share with them. Today, I want to introduce some very, very special guests, Reverend Tim and Beth Pike. They're going to be sharing with us their Assemblies of God World Missionaries. And they're our first missionaries that we've ever had on a Sunday morning. And actually, they were the first missionaries we've ever had on a Sunday night about 2 months ago. So we're going to do things a little bit different. I'm going to interview them. And we're going to learn a little bit about God's heart for missions and the heart that God has given them for missions as well. So at this time, can we have a warm, solid rock welcome for Reverend Tim and Beth Pike. How you guys doing?
Good.
Good. Welcome. Already shook your hands, but we'll do it again anyway. We're pretending we're on TV today. So is that good? That's what they do on TV. You know they already shook hands, and yet they still do it when they start. Well, I'm glad to see you. I'm glad you were able to come out. This is something that we've had in the works for a long time, actually. The first question I have for you today, can you tell us who you are?
We're Tim and Beth Pike, and we're missionaries with the Assemblies of God, world missionaries, not home missionaries. And we've been in missions with the Assemblies since 1999.
Good. So you're part of the Assemblies of God World Missions.
Yes.
What exactly is missions? Because I think there can be confusing thoughts, really, about what the definitions of missions is. Can you explain a little bit what you mean by missions?
Yes. That's a good question, because I think there's some confusion over exactly what constitutes missions. And what some people are doing, some others are saying, well, that's not really missions. And then they're saying, well, what you're doing is not really missions. But in my view, missions is obedience to the Great Commission, as summarized in Matthew 28:19, to when Jesus said to his disciples to go and to make disciples of all the nations.
Yes, that's good. In fact, if you have your bulletin today, you don't need to turn there, but when you flip it open, there's the Great Commission there as well. Jesus said, go and preach the gospel to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Fantastic. My next question for you is, what makes Assemblies of God World Missions different from other organizations? There's a lot of things we can see on TV, but what makes AG Missions different?
For one thing, it's Pentecostal, so we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's large. The Lord has blessed Assemblies of God World Missions. The Lord has blessed the Assemblies of God, and they've just grown phenomenally in the almost 100 years of their existence. And a lot of that growth has been overseas in different parts of the world. And so almost anywhere you go, you can find Assemblies of God believers now. That's not because of any plan or strategy. We believe it's because of the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's fantastic. To my understanding, the Assemblies of God World Missions is one of the largest missions organizations on the planet. And they've only been, as you said, less than 100 years. It's ridiculous, but that's good. And the heart, as you said, to share the gospel with Jesus, not just material needs, but spiritual needs as well.
Yeah, it's both. Yes. It's both, and that's what I like about it.
Yeah.
It's both feeding the spirit, the soul, and helping people. I like that.
Yeah, that's good, because I think we would agree today as an audience that if we give somebody something to drink now, maybe we'll quench their thirst here, but if they don't make heaven, what have we really accomplished? We need to share Jesus and the living water that Christ has shared. Amen?
Amen?
We could say that today. Next question, why should we participate in missions?
Well, my initial reaction would be just out of obedience to God, because when you become a Christian and you set yourself to follow the Lord and to become a disciple of Jesus, reading His Word, fellowshipping with Christians, worshiping at church, you begin to realize the deeper and deeper you go into God's Word, the heart of God. And the pulse of God, and you realize that His heartbeat is for the world to hear the gospel and to be saved. And you know, many people, they say the Bible, if you could summarize the Bible in one verse, it would be John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And the world needs to hear that.
That's good. That's very good. The Lord tells us to, and as you said, it's the heart of God. You could say that if we have God's heart, we should have a heart for missions. And if we don't care, then maybe we need to draw closer to the Lord. Yeah. You would agree with that.
I think, too, as God fills you up, you know, with, you know, you get good teaching and everything in church, you have to give it out. And it's as you give it out, you receive more. And if you don't give it out, you just kind of let it sit there. It kind of goes, you know, stagnant. So I think that's also important.
Yeah. You know. Where does Assemblies of God missions take place? Is it really in a local area or?
All over the place.
Really?
I just looked at my almanac this morning, and there's about 200 countries in the world. It might be 220, but it's around 200. And the Assemblies of God is in over 180 countries.
Wow.
So,
wow,
I mean, one thing we learned, though, from the Bible is that when God says all nations, He doesn't mean the political boundaries that we recognize. He's talking about the people groups, the ethnic groups. So within one nation, there can be several, as you know, several ethnic groups, and all those groups need to be reached with the gospel.
Yeah, that's good. So it's not in just the small area, but it's really all over the entire world.
Mm-hmm. And also, I think generations, too. You know, sometimes we go to reach the youth or the children or the adults or, you know, even gender. Right. You know, there's all kinds of division you know, of people groups.
That brings me to my next question. If it sounds very multifaceted, what does the typical Assemblies of God world missionary look like? Is there a typical?
No.
I think that it's funny because Tim asked a group of children, when we first walked in this room, did you think we were missionaries? And the children just looked at us like, And he said, you can be honest. And, well, maybe not. But, you know, anybody can be a missionary. It's what God calls you to do. All of us need to make disciples. It's what God calls us to, and God gives everyone different gifts, you know. And sometimes even our the ways in which we're not perfect are disarming to people and give us an open door. Sometimes even little babies are missionaries. We took our first, we took our baby to the mission field, and she opened all kinds of doors for us.
That's good. What types of things are done on the mission field with Assemblies of God missions? Is it always the pastor who takes his Bible and stands in the middle of the town, or does it really not fit that category?
Yes, it does fit that category. A lot of it begins with that. But then it depends where you're going, what the needs are, what the context is. When we studied missions, a big thing that they told us was understanding, well, to put it simply, understanding where you are. And so different places can require different needs on one hand. But on the other hand, there is a similarity. You're going in to establish the worship of God and to get people hearing the gospel, making what we call converts. By that, we don't mean just changing your affiliation, but being converted from within, really getting saved through hearing the word. And you may have families, because in a lot of other countries they're more community oriented than we are here. We're very individualistic in the United States, but you might have an entire village, and if the chief gets saved, the whole village becomes a Christian village, so called. But then you realize, wait, these people aren't necessarily saved yet. We got to really keep praying and ministering to them until you realize the light has turned on, and they have truly received God. And it all begins with salvation. But from that comes so many things. As we know, the book of James talks about faith without works is dead. And James said, if you see someone with a need and you just say to them, talk words to them, be warmed and filled, and then go your way, what have you done for that person?
Yeah.
So the Assemblies of God is involved with a lot of compassion ministries and meeting felt needs.
Wow, that's fantastic. Yes, there's Convoy of Hope that reaches a lot of people who are devastated by tsunamis and hurricanes and things like that. Bible training, which I know that you were a part of, and I'm sure you'll mention in a few moments as well. You said children's workers, mm-hmm. church planters, even TV and radio communications people, doctors, nurses, and things like mm-hmm. that as well, carpenters, orphanage workers. Yes.
There's different lengths of time that you can go as well. You can go for 1 week or up to 4 years and then do different things within, you know, whatever you can.
Wow, really?
Afford to take off from your work or your vocation in order to go and minister for God in a foreign context.
So that sounds like churches have a big part to play yeah. in this. Well, what parts do churches overall play in missions?
Well, you know, while we're home between assignments, we're busy going to the different churches. And so really, without the churches, you wouldn't go anywhere. You'd have nothing. The youth provide the vehicles. The kids help provide the literature and equipment. But most of all, when missionaries, Assembly of God missionaries, go from church to church, you always hear them say, thank you for your prayers and your support, meaning financial support, your prayers and your support. It's those two things. You'll hear them over and over and over again because they're so vitally important from the body
good.
Of Christ.
That's good. So prayer and financial support is really important. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And short-term trips, as you just mentioned,
yes.
that sounds exciting to me. I've mentioned a lot that we would love to take a trip. It may sound premature, but I would love to take a trip next summer, and I actually think we can do that. A short-term trip somewhere, wherever the Lord would open up doors, summer 2008. And I spoke to several and got a good amount of feedback. You know, we want to see God at work, and we want to help support and pray, and financially as well, to help. Well, that brings me to my next question, and that's, who are you in regards to your specific calling? Maybe you can give us a little bit of an idea of how you ended up sitting here.
Beth and I met in Bible college, and our vision was forged there. A little Bible college called Christ for the Nations. So you know, even just from the name, that they had a real missionary vision. And so that was really planted within us. But it took like 20 years into our marriage before we actually made it into missions as a vocation, although we'd supported missions and we'd tried to be faithful in every way that we could where we were up until that point. Then God opened the door for us to go as associate missionaries, so we had to kind of leave everything that we were doing, you know. Although we kind of had missions in mind, so we tried to live humbly. We didn't get a house with a big mortgage and all the other things that a lot of Americans do. We tried to live so that we could make the jump into missions when God said go.
And
fortunately for us, he eventually did open the door. But there were many years in there when we thought, this ain't happening. It's just not happening. But, you know, it's like that Jesus said, unless a seed fall to the ground and die, you know, it won't bring forth. And so that seed really was buried deep. And we thought for a long time, we thought it was dead. But God just opened the door when he deemed that it was the time.
Wow.
Just the years of waiting for God to open the doors and keeping it in our hearts, you know. One thing you have to do to be a missionary is you have to be debt-free. You know, so that's something I think is a good thing for all Christians to think about, is trying to be freed up financially in for whatever God might have for you to do. And, you know, also training up your kids, you know, putting that vision on their heart, you know. Teaching them about it, and you know, when they went, our oldest was a teenager, 13, and she had a heart for missions. It was really, really hard for her to go, but she's thriving, you know. So thank God, that's the grace of God.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah. Just keeping ready for whatever God calls you to do.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you for sharing a little bit of your story. And if you don't know, Tim and Beth, they actually live in Newfield, Vineland area. So they are local. I mean, they're as local as you can get. And that's neat to hear that God called you and He's using you. The next question, where will you be going? And yeah,
we're
going to
be going. We're going to be going to the Leeward Islands of the Caribbean, and we'll be based on an island called Antigua, which is 10 by 12 miles, so it's very small. Most of our ministry will take place on that island, but we'll also go out to the other islands of that little cluster there in the northern part of the Leeward Islands. If you don't know your Caribbean geography, which I didn't know either, it's, I guess you could say, southeast of Puerto Rico, not too far from Puerto Rico. So
okay. That's
where we'll be, about as close as you can be to the United States and still be called foreign missionaries.
Yeah, good. And you'll be based on the island of Antigua. Is it Antigua? Is
Americans say Antigua, but they say Antigua.
Antigua.
Yes.
Good. Why will you be going?
Well, the ultimate reason is, as you know, we've been saying that God has led us there. It's been the call of God. A lot of people think we chose the Caribbean. That looks nice, you know, vacation spot. But we feel that God has us there. We didn't choose this field. We didn't choose the field that we went to last time. In a sense, you can say we didn't choose the field before that, although the doors certainly opened for Vanuatu when we went to Vanuatu. So ultimately it's the call of God, but more specifically, we'll be going to be involved in the work of church planting among Spanish-speaking people in those Leeward Islands.
That's neat. So you just had a heart from God for His work. And you said, Lord, I'm open, show me the door. And through other people, the Lord would open the door and say, this is it. And you were just willing to go and serve wherever the Lord would send.
If you want to know the actual mechanics of how it works in the assemblies, when you're an associate missionary, you can go online, you can see what the personnel listings are, and then you can see what you think you could do. And we were interested in continuing in Bible school ministry, and you give three choices, not in any particular order, but you give them three out of whatever's listed. You kind of scroll down, and they've got all these countries of the world. We weren't really looking at the place. We were looking at what we thought we could do. Mm-hmm. So we put in for Peru, we put in for Ethiopia, and we put in for Jamaica, because each of these places had a Bible college that wanted somebody to come and do administration and teaching, and that's what we were involved with in Vanuatu. The one that came back to us, we didn't, like I said, no particular order, was Jamaica. And so that's what got the ball rolling. We ended up not going to Jamaica. We were redirected to the Antilles. But that's what, it was that moment that put us into that part of the world.
Yeah.
Some missionaries feel a specific call to a people group or to a country that God put on their heart. And we really felt that We knew what our gifts were and what we could do, and we really felt that we should just let the Assemblies of God put us where they needed us, where they saw. And Antigua, believe it or not, they needed someone like Tim to be there, someone that they felt could partner with the people there that were doing work. And that takes a certain personality. It takes certain gifts.
Yeah.
And that's where they asked us to go.
Yeah, I love that story because it just reiterates, we're just open to whatever the Lord would have, and He leads us and He guides us and He knows what's better than we know.
Right.
That's actually the story of our church, really fits into your story as well, from the day that I felt God's calling even come to this area to plant. I said, Lord, that sounds crazy. I don't know how to start a church. If that's you, you got to do it. And then the Lord, in the very same way, He opened doors. And how we even came to this location, this wasn't even on the list. We were here, and we weren't going to even stay here. We were going other places, and the Lord just opened doors. And when we're just open, God knows what's best. And it's good to know that we can trust the Lord, right?
Right.
That's great. What will your ministry look like? You mentioned church planting. a little bit. Can you, if you could give us a snapshot?
Yeah. I went there for 4 days in January to meet with my area director, who's the boss over all those fields in that area. And I met the people that I'll be working with and the church planter from the Dominican Republic that's been starting these little works among the Spanish-speaking people. A lot of that still remains to be seen, but there's a lot of vision. It's not going to happen overnight, but if I could just try to summarize it in a nutshell, it's to get these churches, because they're vulnerable, to get them established, to get them to put down roots, and they need buildings to be completed. They need a lot. As you know, they're starting from scratch, and we want to bring it. We want to start a school for the children. Because they need that in their language. There's schools there, of course, but they're not in their language. We want to bring in a program that the Assemblies does that's called Latin America Child Care, and that's where people sponsor a disadvantaged child. So you can sponsor individual children. We'll be involved with that. We want to bring in teams from the United States, construction teams, outreach teams, that will do literature evangelism, possibly some tent crusades. I'm not sure what's going to work there. The place that we were at before did not respond to tent crusades or literature. You have to kind of figure out what's going to work.
Right, because every place is different.
Yes, absolutely. And anything else that I'm not thinking of?
Yeah. Just kind of the idea of stabilizing the church. It's funny in the Caribbean, but we're going to be in the Leeward Islands, a lot of wind, a lot of hurricanes. And, you know, the Lord really put on my heart also a lot of winds of doctrine, like the Bible says, a lot of doctrine that's a little on the crazy side. And they need to be trained. They need training. They want training. They want, leadership, and they want, some Sunday school programs, seminars, all these kind of things. So,
stabilize. Yeah, very good. So in a nutshell, just to reiterate what you said, church planting, I think we should have a heart to help churches, shouldn't we? And have a heart to help plant churches. If you don't know, we are a church plant. My wife and I were officially church planters with the Assemblies of God. So that's fantastic to be able to go and help start new churches and help those churches who are there. Mm-hmm. And with Latin American Child Care, to help orphanages, sponsor children, help them to learn to read and write and to get medication and proper nutrition. Those things are just fantastic. Does that sound like something that you, can I see your hand if you think that's a good thing today? A few of us, yeah. It's something we could get involved with, right? Would you? I believe that that's important, to share Jesus with churches and with the people there, but also to take care of physical needs as well. When will you be leaving, or what's your rough timeline?
My target month is February of next year.
Okay. Good. And then you're going to be spending a year in language school, I believe, something like that, give or take?
Yeah, that's the plan, as given to us by our supervisor, Dale Code.
Is that Spanish?
Yes.
It is. It's just regular Spanish that we would hear. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Great, fantastic. We'll pray for you with that. Did anybody fail Spanish in school? Can I see your hands? Yeah? Olga failed Spanish? Yeah? Right, yeah. It's tough to learn a language. I can feel with you for that. But we'll pray that the Lord will trust you. So you have 15 months to raise financial support in order to go. As a church, I think we would like to be able to participate in what you're doing. I think we can do that. And what way can we actually participate? How can we help you to go?
Well, it's kind of like I said before, and I didn't set this up, but prayer and finances. Prayer and finances. That's what we depend on, and it's not one without the other. You really need both. And I don't, sometimes missionaries get, I think, too far in the direction of finances, because we're constantly looking at our budget. And believe it or not, we have deadlines. We have to submit monthly reports. And we have people from Springfield who will breathe down our necks if we're not on target.
Yeah.
And sometimes you get under that. But then, it's like every once in a while, the Holy Spirit hits you over the head with that holy 2x4 to let you know it's not all about the money, you know. Yeah. And think, because things will happen, and then you appreciate the prayers of God's people. Mm. Because when you're in the field, you can, right, honey? You can feel, there's times when you can feel that prayer that's undergirding you, that's supporting you in the field. Yeah. Without it, you'd be so ineffective. I mean, it might even not be safe without it. I truly believe that.
Wow.
And there's times when you feel very lonely, and then you realize, and you could just tell people are praying.
That is awesome.
And another thing that's interesting, too, with the assemblies is they have two ways for us to raise our support, which I think is very interesting, not just cash to get there and to set up, but also monthly pledges that that churches or individuals give, you know. Bigger churches will give you a big pledge. An individual might, we have some people just giving us $5 a month. But the thing is that when you're there, and the way that you get there and get a visa to stay in these countries is by having promises from America, from churches in America, saying that you're not going to have to earn any money in their countries, because they're not going to let us live in Antigua if they think that we have to get a job there, because
taking jobs from their people.
We wouldn't be able to do that. They have to know that the whole time we're there, we are supported. So that's an interesting thing too.
That's good. Well, thank you very much for coming and sharing today. God bless you. You guys can be seated. Thank you very much. I think we all probably learned a little bit more about missions than perhaps we've known before. As you know, I have a heart to do what God's called us to do on this earth, that we are to go and to share the gospel with all nations. If Jesus didn't want us to do something, he would have killed us the moment we prayed. We would have said, Jesus, forgive me, okay, bam, come up to heaven with me. But the Lord doesn't do that, because we are his spokespeople to live out in the world and to see his kingdom come and to participate in what he's doing. The Pikes mentioned that there's a part that we play in that. Jesus said, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We know that Jesus will be with us when we line up with what he's doing around the world. As they said, it's a twofold commitment. There's prayer and there's financial as well. Prayer alone, they will never get there. They will never get on the mission field. God is calling people like us to help them to do that. And listen, if we only give them money and we don't pray for them, they will go and they won't be effective no matter how hard they try. Because it's Jesus and his Spirit that goes and touches people and draws them. Jesus said no one can come to the Father unless he draws them to himself. The same way it works here as we pray, it's the same thing over on the foreign field. They need prayer and they need financial support.